Okay, let's open in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just come before you, God, just in awe of who you are, God. You are merciful. You are kind. You are loving and long-suffering. Lord Jesus, we ask, God, for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. We cannot live in the attributes and the characteristics, God, of who you are, Lord Jesus, apart from your Spirit, God. So we ask, God, that you help us, Lord, to abide in you, to know you, truly know you, God, that we may represent you well, Lord, that we may be women who are fit for use, God, beneficial to ourselves and to those in our lives, God. Use us mightily, Lord Jesus, for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this week is kindness, and we're going to start in Proverbs 31:26. It says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. The word kindness in that verse is the Hebrew word hesed. It is often translated as loving kindness, goodness, mercy. The Strong's defines it as God's kindness, his loving kindness, and condescending to the needs of his creatures, implying mercy, kindness is central to the character of who God is, right? Mercy, truth, love, faithfulness, those are all characteristics that belong to God. So kindness will be the result in our lives if we are living in our divine nature. Kindness is the evidence that we are growing in our faith. It's not the beginning of our growth. It's actually one of the later fruits that develop and start coming as the more we mature. The closer we are to God, the kinder and more merciful we will be as women. So kindness is so much more than being nice. That is not it. Kindness is mercy. It's loyalty. It means fit for use. It's pleasant. It's gracious. It's easy, manageable. Goodness and faithfulness. Kindness has a desire to mutually benefit all involved. When a woman of worth speaks, a woman of virtue speaks, it is with wisdom, which means with skill. Her words have purpose and power because they come from above. They are divinely influenced. Not only are her words wise, but they are kind. Even during times of instruction and correction, her words are going to be kind and full of mercy. They are biblical and they are meaningful because the word kindness in that verse is the word Torah, which means Old Testament law, scripture. This woman gives divine instruction, instructing people in the ways of God, not her opinion. It does not matter what we think or what we feel about a situation or circumstance, right? It only matters what God says about it. There was an old bumper sticker when I was growing up, and it said, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. That's incorrect. God said it, that settles it. Whether or not we believe it or agree with it is irrelevant. Our opinions do not change the reality of truth or what the Bible declares. So law also means to govern. It's a custom. It's a manner. Laws set the standard for how we are to behave. So it is the manner in which we conduct ourselves. Kindness is the governing rule of the mouth of the wisdom of worth. It is how she speaks. Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. The virtuous woman is a woman of wisdom, so the result is going to affect her speech. Our words are to always be with grace. Earlier in this study, we learned that grace means having a divine influence on someone, converting the soul. The kind woman's words are divinely influenced. They are gracious. They are attractive. Pain, frustration, ignorance can affect our speech. I went through seasons of crushing pain in my life, and I allowed my pain to affect my words. God convicted me deeply of that sin with the following verses. Proverbs 3, verses, chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Let not mercy, which is kindness. Kindness and mercy are interchangeable. This is the same Hebrew word has said. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. My life was falling apart, and I desperately needed favor from God and man. So I wore this necklace. Literally, this is the necklace I wore.
This is it.
It says, love is kind around it. I bound it around my neck. So whenever my flesh wanted to cry out and prove its pain, right? When I wanted to say unkind words, I would stop, I would touch it, and I would pray, asking God to help me represent him correctly. I didn't want to ruin my witness. Sometimes we think that loud, harsh words help people understand our pain and our frustration and our fears, but they don't. What they do is they push people away. God tells us how we are to behave. Our words must be with mercy, with kindness and truth. Kindness, right? Mercy, just telling people what they want to hear, giving them a bunch of fluffy words, is meaningless. But on the other hand, speaking the truth to someone without mercy is cruel. Correcting people without love and a willingness to come alongside them and help them learn and live out that correction is putting a burden on someone that they cannot carry, and it's brutal. Galatians tells us that if we see someone in sin, overcome by something, we are to go to them in gentleness, in kindness. And if we are going to point out their faults, speaking truth on a matter, then we need to be the one that's willing to come alongside them and help them grow. Otherwise, all we're doing is putting them down. Ask yourself, this is the thing. Ask yourself, is it necessary? Not all edification is necessary. What is my motive behind this correction? Is it for their good? Is it for their growth? Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 5. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. I'm going to pause here for a minute. It shows a lack of godliness and maturity if we just want to point out people's faults, if we want to point out people's sins, and not come alongside them in restoration. Bear one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, don't think you're something when you're nothing. If anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. If we think that we are too important to help someone, we are deceiving ourselves. We are fooled. A woman of kindness does not think that she is something special, that she is above anyone else. None of us are above serving others and coming alongside people in restoration. Also, it's not what we say, but it's how we say it. What is our heart behind it? Our words have to have a divine influence. It's not just about suppressing our words. It's about changing our hearts. Bad hearts will result in bad words. Luke 6, 45. A good person produces good things from a treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from a treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from your heart. We are to bind kindness and truth around our necks. Write them on our hearts. If something is bound around our necks, if it is written in our hearts, it has become who we are. We carry them around with us so that they will never be forgotten. They will govern our motives and become part of our nature. If something is written on our hearts, it will manifest in our words. Naturally, we cannot share something that we don't possess, right? We cannot have it on our tongues if it's not in our hearts first. We must know the word of God in order to speak the word of God. The virtuous woman opens her mouth with wisdom, and the law of kindness is on her tongue. They are coming out from within her. Remember, we already learned the virtuous woman delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law she meditates day and night. The law, the word of God, is a guard around her life. Knowing and living the word of God is like having a protective barrier around you. It's a shield of protection. Personally, the more of the word of God I know, the safer I feel, because it keeps me from folly and foolishness and destructive behaviors. It is my defense against the enemy. Psalm 18:30. As for God, his way is perfect. God's ways are the best ways. The word of the Lord is proven. We can trust in it. And he is a shield to all who trust in him. By knowing the word of God, this woman speaks loving kindness, and her words have power. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that it is his kindness that is intended to turn you from your sin? The virtuous woman knows that it is the kindness of God within her that leads to change, that leads to repentance within herself and those in her life. It is God, it is Jesus coming out of her. A kind woman esteems others higher than she esteems herself. Philippians 2:3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Meaning, let nothing be done with a desire to put yourself forward. Let nothing be done with only you in mind, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than himself. The kind woman understands her moral littleness. She understands that apart from Jesus, she's spiritually bankrupt, right? She's aware that she's poor in spirit, completely desolate and empty without him, that she has no ability to produce righteousness within herself that only comes by the imparting of the Holy Spirit. This results in a lowliness of mind. It results in humility. A kind woman is not selfish or self-focused. She's selfless. As Christ followers, we are to be like him, and he laid down his life for the salvation of others. We are to be self-sacrificing in our relationships as well. And I know this goes against the grain of what society says that women are to be, right? Me time's priority. Self-esteem is, let's focus on how we can build up our self-esteem. Self-care is really, really important. The world says that we are to speak our minds, right? No one can hold us down. Ladies, no one can hold down the woman that's already laid her life down at the cross. There is no one who can kill a dead person. We've already been crucified with Christ. In week 2, we learned that Ruth was a woman of virtue, that her circumstances did not determine her behavior. She was a virtuous woman that knew, that understood that it was in the laying down of her life that she actually finds life. Ruth was selfless, and she esteemed Naomi, her mother-in-law, higher than herself. Ruth chapter 3, verses 10 and 11 states, "Then he said," this is Boaz, "blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman." Ruth showed kindness by not making decisions what would be best for her alone or what she desired. Ruth walked in humility, esteeming others, esteeming Naomi higher than herself. She made her decisions out of kindness. What would mutually benefit all involved? Ruth's humility and living out kindness and mercy brought favor with her redeemer, Boaz. And when we live as women of kindness, women of mercy, it brings favor with our redeemer, Jesus, as well. James 4, 6 says, "God resists the proud, but he gives grace. He gives favor to the humble." Proverbs 11, 17, "Your kindness will reward you, but your cruelty, it will destroy you." As virtuous women, our desire needs to be to bring glory, honor, and praise to God, to be like Jesus. And we do that by abiding and being filled with his Spirit. The Holy Spirit produces fruit in our lives. Galatians 5, 22. "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit," meaning this is what comes from God. "Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There are no laws, no law against these things." Fruit is an outward expression of the inner man. Apples produce apple trees, right? So apples are just a manifestation of what's on the inside. If we are living in our divine nature, filled with Christ, filled with his Holy Spirit, there will be manifestations. There will be evidences of fruit in our lives. Fruit is the proof of the union. Fruit is the evidence of what we are on the inside. The virtuous woman produces kindness in her life because she is close to Christ. His Spirit is in her. She knows that in and of herself, she cannot do it. Innately, our natural man is selfish. That's where our natural instinct is going to be. But that's why Jesus said in John 15, 5, "Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." We cannot do this with a striving in our flesh. This is a spiritual work. We have to have no confidence in our flesh. It's complete resting and abiding in Jesus. So we cannot produce the fruits of the Spirit, being truly kind women, apart from Jesus. So what are some of the fruits that we see from a woman of kindness? What are some of the evidences that we will see in her life? One, she willingly works. Proverbs 31, 13. "She seeks wool and flask and willingly works with her hands." Willingly means she delights in it. It's a pleasure. She longs to serve others. Serving others is not a burden to a kind woman. It's a delight. When we are living as virtuous, kind women, we're not going to be eating the bread of idleness. Proverbs 31, 27. "She watches over the way of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness." A kind woman does not eat. She is not a partaker, one who lives a lifestyle of idleness, meaning she's not slothful, sluggish, lazy, showing no interest or effort. Idleness and laziness are a byproduct of selfishness. If you're a really lazy person, it's coming because you're a really selfish person. A kind woman cares about others. So she serves, she's watching, she's training, she's looking for every opportunity that she can reflect God in her life. When we are kind, it means that we are fit for our master's use. We will be useful to those around us and to the kingdom of God. This is not on my notes, but I did talk about it in the prayer room. Last week, I think it was last week, when we talked about the things that grieve the Holy Spirit, and we put clamor and all these things. When it goes down in that verse, it tells you what to do next, and it says, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as Christ has forgiven you. Be kind in that verse means fit for use. Be useful. Be a useful person. If we're using words of clamor and harshness, if we're not forgiving, if we're bitter, then we're not benefiting ourselves or others. We're not going to be fit for use. Another fruit or manifestation of a kind woman is that she's a safe woman. She does people good and not harm. Proverbs 31, 11 and 12. The heart of her husband safely trusts in her. So he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. When we are kind, people feel secure around us, right? Confident that we will not intentionally hurt them. A kind woman, it is her goal, is she intends, right, to do good. She wants to benefit others. Yes, we all make mistakes. We all fall short, but her heart is for good, right? In Micah chapter 6, it reveals to us what God desires from his people. Micah 6, verses 7 and 8. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sins of my soul? He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, this is kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. God does not want all of our efforts. He has clearly shown us what he requires, what he wants. He wants our hearts. Because when he has our hearts, it'll lead to us having his heart. The more we commune with God, the more intimate we are with him, the more we abide in his presence, the more we will know of him, and the more we will love him. Our walks with God are not burdensome or legalistic. Our lives are to be an outpouring of love and thanksgiving towards God. When he has our hearts, it leads to our devotion, which leads to thankful obedience. So God has revealed to us, he has shown us what he desires. What does the Lord require of his people? He gives three moral character qualities. First, to do justly. This means live fitting, worthy, walk in an appropriate manner. Okay, it's judgment, it's discernment. We learned about this quality already. My brain is like totally fried. I have no clue when we learned it. What was last week? See? God can use anyone, you guys. So we already learned about discernment. It was one of the weeks before. Next, we are to love mercy. Love it. Okay? This means kindness. Loving, kindness, goodness. It is the same Hebrew word, hased, that we see in the law of kindness. This means showing others favor, courtesy, service, benefit. We are to love being kind, extending mercy. It has to be our heart's desire to show loving kindness and mercy to others because it brings glory to God. Lastly, walk humbly with your God. I love what Spurgeon says about humility. True humility is thinking rightly of thyself, not meanly. When you have found out what you really are, you will be humble, for you are nothing to boast of. Humility is not self-criticism, okay? Thinking all about your faults. That's actually self-worship and self-focus. Same with high self-esteem. You're thinking all about yourself and not God. Humility goes back to our inner man. It is a woman who has humbled herself in the sight of God. In view of who God is, the reality of his presence has dropped her to her knees, and she is a bowed down woman. You guys have probably all heard the quote, but the branch with the most fruit hangs the lowest. So the closer someone is to God, the more humble and kind that person will be. Luke 6, 32 through 36. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he, this is God, is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Therefore, be merciful, be kind, just as your Father is also merciful. We are not kind women because people earn or deserve our kindness. None of us deserves or has earned the kindness of God in our lives. Titus 3, verses 4 and 6. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior towards man appeared, Jesus is kindness in flesh. He is the appearance of God's kindness, of God's mercy. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Christ our Savior. We must be kind and extend mercy because we are Christ's representatives. Something that kind of I think about all the time, or I try to think on, but I tend to forget it, I guess, so easily. And one of the expressions of God's love that just is like, it's beyond comprehension, is God did not require us to clean ourselves up before letting us in. He did not put all these stipulations and things that we needed to do in order to receive his kindness and his mercy in our lives. In view of that kind of mercy and that kind of kindness from God, how can we be so stingy with it? We do not behave kindly because we think we're going to get something out of it. That's selfish ambition. We are kind because we are living in our divine nature and obeying God's ways. David in 2 Samuel 9, verse 3. The king then asked him, "Is anyone still alive from Saul's family? If so, I want to show God's kindness to them." Ziba replied, "Yes, one of Jonathan's sons is still alive. He is crippled in both feet." David had promised his friend Jonathan that he would show kindness to his household forever. Jonathan is now dead. David could have justified not keeping his word. It was customary for a leader of a new dynasty to kill, to execute every potential heir of the past dynasty. But David wanted to show God's kindness. David wanted to express God to others and represent God well. God gives us his kindness so that we can give it. We can give it to others. There was no selfish motive with David. David gained nothing by showing kindness to Jonathan's son. Extending God's kindness is not the same as human kindness. As humans, we put limitations and stipulations. I will forgive you if you take full blame and all the penalty of what you did, right? I will be kind to you if you do X, Y, and Z. God, in his loving kindness, took our penalty upon himself. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us, showing kindness, not because we deserve it, but because that's who he is. He is our kind, merciful Father. God gives the sun and the rain on the just and the unjust. We read a minute ago that he is kind to the unthankful and the evil. I can't remember where I heard this quote. I found it in my journal, so I don't know if I wrote it. Normally I would put down like this is by who it's by and then like the name by it. So I was going through a really hard time. So I could have been like, Courtney, you could do this, you could do this. But here's the quote. Never underestimate the power of kindness. Kindness is a choice that comes from incredible strength. Kindness is not weakness. It is the power of God being displayed through us. It is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's living in our divine nature. It takes incredible strength to be kind and gentle and humble, especially with those who are cruel, harsh, and demanding. It takes the power of God. So, what's the opposite of a kind woman? It's a woman of selfishness. It's a woman of reproach. This is a woman who's not living in the divine nature, the character of God. This woman's conduct is worthy of blame. It is shameful and it is disappointing. She does not have a goal. Her aim is to not live above reproach. Instead, her life is dominated by sinful, self-serving habits that hinder her witness. A woman of selfishness is one that goes around not only stripping herself of a good reputation, but breaking down others as well. In the Greek, another word for selfish is strife. So this woman is full of envy and self-seeking, which result in her life being full of strife and contentions. Because if she's not getting her way, she is throwing in a grown-up fit. And we all know what grown-up fits look like, right? They're the cold shoulder. They're the withdrawal of affection. They're a refusal to meet the needs of others unless they're doing what you want them to do. It's really, really mature. I've never done it. Actually, the only reason I could write this is because I've done all of it and I was like, oh, that's not working. That's not producing what I wanted to produce. I need to figure this out, God. So the selfish woman does not care how her choices affect others. She does not esteem others higher than she esteems herself. 1 Corinthians 10:23. All things are lawful for me. Okay? God does not put a lock and chain on us. We have free will. But not all things are helpful. Not all things are beneficial. Not all things bring together. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Not everything builds up, establishes, makes secure, promotes growth. Let no one seek his own. Meaning, let no one be selfish. Let no one put themselves forward, but each one, the other's well-being. The selfish woman says things like this: I have the freedom in Christ to do what I want to do. Don't put some heavy on me with your rules and your regulations. It is not a rule or a regulation to care about our witnesses or how our actions are affecting others. That is called walking in love. It's being a considerate person. It is considering others in order to stir them up to good works. The selfish woman is not living out 1 Corinthians 10:23. Yes, it may be allowed. It may be lawful. But is it beneficial to you? Is it beneficial to those around you? Are you experiencing growth from it? Is it building up? Is it building you up? Is it building your home up? Is it building your life up? I'm going to use an example, and I'm using this example because it's a gray area. It may be lawful. but a selfish woman. Does not care if her drinking or her habits are destroying her life, her home. She does not care if she's a horrible witness to her babies and her children. If she wants to do it, she's gonna do it. She'll justify a reason despite how it affects others. She is seeking her own and not the other's well-being. Our actions do not just affect us. A selfish woman has not allowed the grace of God to come in and penetrate her heart fully. Having God's grace poured out on us in our lives, his divine influence on us, will have results. 1 Corinthians 15:10. But whatever I am now, it is all because God poured out his special favor on me, and not without results. For I have worked harder than any of the other apostles. Yet it was not I, but God who was working through me by his grace. There is no contradiction between grace and discipline, between godliness and hard work. Having God's grace, his mercy poured out on us, is our motivation. It is our encouragement to live according to his ways. Proverbs 14:1. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pull it down with her hands. Selfish women will make excuses for their flesh at the destruction of their homes, their lives, and their reputations. A selfish woman is not being the builder. She's not promoting growth. She's not establishing. She's not making things secure. A selfish woman is foolish. She's destroying her home. She is pulling it down with her own hands, brick by brick, ruining her life and affecting everyone around her. James in James chapter 3 tells us the fruits of selfishness. Verses 13 through 16. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by his good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. If you are wise, you're going to prove it by how you live. Remember, we already learned that wisdom is justified by her children. What is it producing? What are the results? But if you have bitter envy, self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. Ladies, ask God to reveal the motive of your heart. Ask God so you're not self-deceived. Say, I don't want to be self-deceived, Lord. Show me what my motive is. We don't even know our own hearts. They're deceitful and they're wicked. We can't know them. So we have to say, God, you show me. You show me, Lord, what is my motive in this situation? This wisdom does not descend from above, but it is earthly, it is sensual, and it is demonic. For where envy, self-seeking, selfishness exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Selfishness is not from God. James states it is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. So the result in our lives is we're going to have a lot of disorder. We're going to have some confusion and a lot of evil going on in our homes. Because selfishness is not from God, this woman is not reverent or respectful in her behaviors. In her selfishness, she justifies sin. Instead of bringing people good in their lives, as we read in Proverbs 31:12, she brings them harm. She's disagreeable, she's argumentative, and unwilling to yield. It's her way or the highway. With a kind woman, people can safely trust in her. They feel secure around her because they know her intention, right? Her motive is for good for all involved. But the selfish woman, she makes people feel uneasy, like a little insecure, right? We've all been around kind of like those people and you like always are walking on eggshells, like you don't want to poke the bear type thing. It's like, that's where it's at. Proverbs 21:9. Better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman. Strife, contention, selfish. She is a woman who is so contentious, she's so quarrelsome, she's so selfish, that people would rather be alone than be around her. She is not living how Paul exhorts us to be in Philippians 2:3. We read it earlier, right? Let nothing be done through selfish ambition. Let nothing be done out of selfishness or in conceit, thinking of yourself, but in lowliness of mind, esteem others better than yourself. A selfish woman does not have the lowliness of mind. She does not have humility. So the result is self-righteousness. And self-righteousness removes grace. Our desire should be to bring glory to God in every single area of our lives, to be representing Him accurately to those around us. We should want to be women of worth who bring blessing, benefit, and build up. We do this by getting over ourselves and getting in to God. And now I want to talk about something really quick, because I know that these teachings are hard and it can bring up a lot of like, I'm selfish. I know, because when the Lord, I told you guys, when God took me through this process, it was painful. It's hard. Conviction hurts. Okay? Conviction is not feel good, but it should drop you to your knees. It should drop you to God and say, God, help me to do better. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. But we have to remember that our relationship with God is not about performance, okay? It is not about a working or a striving in our flesh to accomplish anything. We cannot do it. It is a simply a resting in God. It's just abiding in Him, being in His presence, being a woman of prayer, being a woman of the Word. We cannot do this by the striving in our flesh. If we think that somehow we're going to produce these qualities in our flesh, God shares His glory with no one. With no one. So if you think you can do it, not going to happen. It has to come by simply relying on the Lord. Simply just staying connected. God loves us no matter what. He has already proven that to us on the cross. But why don't we express our love back to Him? Start showing our expression of love to Him through obedience. That's God's love language. If you love me, you obey me. You want to show God how much you love Him? Obey His ways. Live in His word. Corrie Ten Boom says, God does not have favorites, but He does have intimates. We are as close to God as we choose to be. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, just delighting in His presence, right? Just wanting to be around Him, not striving, just simply saying, God, I want to be with you. I want to talk to you. I want to know you. Naturally, out of that, the ministry of Jesus will flow out of our lives. Today, I'm going to close. I'm going to pray Psalm 103, verses 8 and 10. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. Same word has said, kindness, abounding in it. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. I'm going to pray Lamentations 3, 22 and 24. Through the Lord's mercies, through His chesed, through His kindness, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Because His compassions fail not, they are new. Every morning, every day, we get a new start. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in Him. And I'm going to pray Proverbs 31, 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom and the law of kindness. And on her tongue is the law of kindness. We're going to pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, great is your faithfulness. Oh, God, your compassion never fails. Every day, God, we have a new opportunity to grow in you, to experience your grace, to have your mercy poured out on us, God. We come before you, merciful Father, the God of all compassion, the God of all comfort, the God of all mercy. God, we acknowledge, God, that we have not represented you correctly, Lord Jesus, in some areas of our lives. We thank you, God, that you are kind and you do not deal with us according to our sins, giving us what we deserve. May we extend that kindness and that mercy to others. Thank you, God, that you show us what you desire in your people, God. You make it abundantly clear, God, so that we are without excuse. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you fill us with your Holy Spirit, God. Give us your mind, the mind of Christ, God, so that we can think like you, Lord. Love like you, God. Remove any self-seeking, selfish ambition, selfish ways, God, that promote strife and contentions in our lives. May we be women who pursue peace. Oh, Lord, may we be women that people can safely trust in. Lord, may our intention be to be good to all in our lives, God, representing you well and accurately. May we realize that our witness matters. May the law of kindness govern our lives, Lord Jesus. May our words be with power and kindness and mercy, God. And I pray for every single woman, God, here. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you consume them with your mercy. Pour out your loving kindness on them, Lord Jesus. May they understand that today could be the day of change. Today could be the day of growth, Lord Jesus. May they have a desire, God, a new craving, God, to be in your presence, to sit at your feet, to abide in your word, Lord Jesus. Fill their lives with good things. We thank you, God, that your compassions fail not. And every day your mercies are new. We love you. We trust you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.